Welcome back to another episode of Yo, That Is Gay. I use the unconjugated version, but it's gay. I am Raja, one of your hosts today. And I'm here with another host.
Answer, that is homosexual.
You know, I'm here with another... Wait, how in the hell do you un... Oh my god, is that an ungenderable term? Is that a word?
Yo.
Wait, yeah, yo.
Okay. Fast forward. Today my name is Candy Muse.
Yes.
Who is my current favorite queen on Drag Race season 13.
I love her.
We love Candy Muse.
I love Candy Muse. I cannot lie to you. Simone is the one who I want to go see.
Simone.
Right? Like, there's just something about Simone.
She's that bitch.
She is. Every time the camera is fucking on her, it's just like, boom, I am here, I'm ready, and I'm going to entertain you with my bald head or with the wig on. And I'm here for it.
Yes.
And the candy. Candy's candy. That's all I can see. You know how they can
Candy's
say,
unique. That's what I love about Candy. She's got a unique personality, and it's, I don't know, some people say it's like too much or it's like too extra, but it's like, I personally love those loud personalities because I struggled so much to like not be that person. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, wow, people who are like that, like go off, sis. And like, I've learned to be a little bit more just like outspoken and comfortable, like saying whatever I want to say. So it's like, yeah. You know, but for some people, it's just, I guess, too much, which I think is a little offensive. Yeah. But at the same time, I do agree that as people who give out a lot of energy, we do need to be able to check ourselves.
Yes. That I can agree with. Being just people who want to explode with energy, if you don't regulate yourself, you're going to become intolerable
mm-hmm.
from other people.
Yep.
It's about respecting their space. Now, I love Candy. I love just in-your-face people, too. I really don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. I just love that this season of Drag Race, everybody is getting an experience. Like, you know, they kept saying, oh, it's Tamisha Amon experience. Then it's the Tina Burner experience.
Uh-huh.
Well, every queen on this season is giving us some kind of experience, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like,
honestly, yeah, it's a lot of... This is, I would say, it's a lot of uniqueness in this season. Mm-hmm. I think every queen brings something different to the table. Whereas, like, I feel like I can't think of anyone where I'm like, oh, that's the pageant queen. Like, that's the weird queen. Like, I feel like everyone's got a little bit of, like, pageant in them and a little bit of, like, weird and comedy and camp. Like, I feel like this cast is pretty, like, well-rounded.
I feel like we're watching the cast of, like, grad students
mm-hmm.
coming to Drag Race. Like, they have polished themselves, every single person.
Mm-hmm.
This was a hard one for me where I'm like, who the hell is going to go home at the time?
Yeah.
Like, even if they fall face first in the challenge, the ending, the runway, the lip syncs, all that is so on point. I'm like, this is a hard season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I feel the fact. So I always think that, like, when you lip sync for the first time, it's like it's the best opportunity because you are bringing all your tricks to the table. When you lip sync for the second time, it's a lot harder. So even if it was a good lip sync, if it wasn't better than the first one, you're going to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about lip syncs. The more you do it, the more we want.
Yes, the more you want, and you know what?
So that's why landing in the bottom constantly, like, that sucks, because it's like, your chances of going home are higher just on the fact that you've had to lip sync once already.
Yeah.
And then twice already for some queens.
Yes. I look at it, by the way, y'all, if you haven't figured out, today's episode is all about
we literally just hopped right into it.
We just hopped into this. Today's episode is all about Drag Race. How would you characterize it? We're doing, like, the Daytona 500 of Drag Race.
Like, we're I'm not sure what it. The Daytona 500 is other than cars.
I know that there's cars in it, and I know that there's talking. Oh. Those are the two things that I we get the talking portion of it, where you can drive around in cars, like, and turn to, I think they turn all to the left.
My chair has wheels.
So, to get back into it, this season, one of the things that has stuck out to me the most that I love is that each queen is getting equal screen time, and there has not, at least from what I've seen so far on my end, been a villain edit.
Yeah, no one's drowning out yet. No one's being kind of, like, highlighted as, like, the bitch yet. I feel like everyone's kind of gotten their fair bitch.
Like,
fair
share bitch. Yeah.
Also, but then, like, what I was saying about the whole lip sync thing, the fact that everyone came in and right off episode one, everyone had to lip sync, it's like, okay, you've exhausted tricks A, B, and C right off episode one. So, like, let's see what you'll bring at your actual first lip sync for your life.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I feel like some queens were at a disadvantage because it was like, they've only got one lip sync in them, probably. But, like, okay, like, Denali's lip sync against Kimora Hall, fucking amazing. It got, like, a million views in, like, 3 days on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Like, just that lip sync alone. And, okay, like, all fucking tea and all fucking shade, Kimora Hall did not do good whatsoever for that lip sync. And all those million views were literally for Denali.
Kimora, I love you.
Yeah, beautiful bitch.
Yeah.
Denali slayed. I literally watch that video clip, like, every week because it's so, like, happy and fun.
I think of, so I rewatched that lip sync multiple times, and what I think of is I think of Jenny Lemon walking out of UK, and now, I would have walked out after the cartwheel, bitch. I'd be like, okay, you know what? She got the stage right now. Mm-hmm. I cannot compare to this in this outfit that I'm wearing. I'm still going to give my all. Not really going to give up. But that lip sync was fire. It was my favorite lip sync in that first episode. Not because I'm biased, but Simone and Tanisha. Mm-hmm. That was a great lip sync.
Mm-hmm. That dress that Simone wore, I loved it.
It was so great. It was great. And you know what? And even to the point that you said, getting this first lip sync out the way this season. We took out the tricks because for myself, and I want to ask you how you feel about it, in Drag Race, in the past couple of seasons, it seems like the winner of lip syncs was either the person to do a, they call them death drops, but like a dip,
mm-hmm.
or vogue a little bit, or do some kind of like cartwheel or something. It seemed like those were always the people to win,
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy they're kind of eliminating that.
Yeah, they're bringing back to like the art of lip sync, and you can accentuate it, but like, and that's what I loved about Denali's lip sync. Her lip sync was tight, her lip sync was fierce, her energy was on point, and on top of that, she fucking vogued and she fucking split and she fucking death dropped and she fucking did all this shit. But like, the lip sync itself was tight,
yes.
and it's the fact that she brought that on top of her lip sync.
When I ever see a queen, or when I've seen queens do like a vogue, or especially a death drop, a dip, anything when they're performing, a lot that I have seen stop lip syncing when they do it. And I don't know if it's that you don't know the words or you're more focused on the actual dance than the lip sync, but at least for me, it takes away the quality of it for you to just stop. And I get that you're dancing, but it's like, you can still mouth at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you take me out of the illusion that like, you're performing this song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't just want to see you dance. You know what I mean? Like, same way, like, when I watch a Britney Spears concert, not that I've ever gone to see one live, just on videos, but, like, she'll dance and sing, just like Lady Gaga, because they have that fucking vocal strength, they have those lungs, and they're there to show that off. It's like, if they suddenly stopped singing midway because they're doing a fucking cartwheel, I'd be like, what the fuck? This is my favorite part of the song.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, when you're lip syncing, you're giving me a full illusion.
Mm-hmm. That is what I love to see. The people who have lip synced. And in the season, I feel that, well, we've only had two eliminations.
Four.
So the four people who have been eliminated, they have been eliminated on my end, how I look at fairly in a lip sync. Mm-hmm. Where I don't feel like I'm like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. No, I'm like, okay, I
can. Yeah, it's like, all right. Like, yeah, like, very, like, okay, these are all fair, fairly ranked. So let's go through all the queens of season 13, and then we'll get into UK, because that's a whole other fucking, like, thing.
Okay.
Let's get into each queen, our thoughts, and what we want to see from them.
All right.
So let's start with Denali. We already spoke about Denali. Right off the bat, like, I love her. She's an amazing dancer, and I think she really brings that to the table very well and very polished. Lee, is that term? Is
it,
that
word? You said it. It's a okay. Term now.
But it's not like, oh, I'm a queen and it's sloppy, but, like, no, she choreographs very well. And I think she brings that to the table. More so than any other queen. I know, like, there's a couple other, like, dancing queens, but I think Denali is, like, the dancing queen of the season.
I hope that at some point she gets to lip sync to Dancing Queen. And, like, the actual song. I feel like her performance to it would be amazing. I love Denali. Watching her perform to me is like, it's like Tinkerbell and Peter Pan. You know, Tinkerbell is not the main character, but when you put on Peter Pan, you want to see this bitch move, dance, fly, and all of her little gestures. And that's what I see in Denali in every performance she's been in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we're going to see a win from Denali very soon.
Okay. I feel like this next episode is going to be her time to win. I feel like if she keeps the same energy from the episode 2 weeks ago, she's going to win.
Yep, I definitely see it coming. So be on the lookout. Oh, by the way, spoiler alert's coming.
Oh, yes, we will be spoiling some things. So
yeah, so if you have not been watching Drag Race Season 13 or Drag Race UK or kept up with the upcoming Drag Race news, we're going to be talking all about that. If you want to skip to the Drag Race news, I don't know. I guess just skip forward and after the break, definitely.
It'll be after the break, and I'll make sure to say something like, "This is track news."
Yeah, we'll be like, "Spoiler over."
Yes. So the next queen that I want to talk about is, of course, Simone.
Simone, and she's here for the throne.
From her promo video, I was already sold.
Yeah.
The thing about Simone that sold Simone to me is her voice and the energy behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Her voice is one of those voices where it immediately grabs your attention. You're like, who is that that's talking?
Yeah.
And then after that, you see the energy and personality with it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sold.
Yeah, no, Simone's very personable. She's got great energy, very fun, very fashion. Mm-hmm. So she's from the House of Avalon, which is the same house Gigi Good comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell it's very fashion, very chic, very young.
Oh, yeah.
Very, like, modern. So I think she's doing great. I'm glad she did not go home last week. However, what I do want to see from Simone coming forward, I want to see more silhouettes.
Yes.
Like, I need something that's not, like, necessarily that, like, short skirt, short dress type of thing, because I feel like I've gotten that a couple times. Maybe that's just how I'm remembering it. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but I want to see more. I want to see, like, a gown from Simone or, like, some shit. She hasn't done a gown. She hasn't done, like, a long dress yet, I don't think. She's done the pants at her promo look. She did the pants with the do-rag on the train runway. So I want to see her in, like, a nice, like, rich white woman dress.
I do want to see her in, like, a good gown. Thinking about it now, all of her dresses and skirts at this point have had the same hemline where they cut off very short.
Yeah.
And then the bag ball and the beaded look, they had the same construction of what skin is shown and what's not.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I want more.
Yeah.
Like, bring it. Like, bring exactly what you're bringing, but bring it in other areas. Oh, that's what I want. Okay, so next up, Elliot with two T's. What are your thoughts?
I personally love Elliot with two T's.
Mm-hmm.
I love Elliot's runway presentation. Even though some of Elliot's looks have been more on the subdued side, because I'm not going to say basic. Basic, I'm going to say for another queen. they've been subdued. Like, I feel like Elliot's, like, on the cusp of, hey, this look could be that elevation, but I didn't go there mm-hmm. because personally, it's not my aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And then when the bead ball came around and shit, well, was it the bead ball? The bead challenge. And she came out in that flapper dress. I'm like, there's fashion here, but now I want to see it elevated even more. Mm-hmm. I feel like Elliot is in her head a lot, and I'm just ready for her to just break out.
Yeah, I think Elliot's a super cool, chill person from what I see on the show, obviously. But I think she gets in her head a lot, which obviously, like, they've talked about. But also, I think sometimes I look at Elliot's looks and I'm like, I wish the face was draggier. You know what I mean? Because I feel like she paints a little, like, very realistic femme almost, mm-hmm. To the point where I'm like, oh, like, with this look, it would just take it up a notch if you had, like, a bigger eyebrow or, like, just some, like, big lips. And I know that's maybe that's not her brand, mm-hmm. but I would love to see it just, like, once or twice to, like, be like, I can't step out of my box and expand my box. You know what I mean?
You know her makeup is makeup.
Yeah. Yeah, like, girl, you're giving me complete biological fish. Like, I get it.
Yes. Whenever I see Elliot's makeup, it's very girl going to the mall or girl going to work, girl going out for dinner to the night. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's beautiful makeup, mm-hmm. but you look so plain-faced compared to the outfit that you want to display. There's a clash there.
Yeah. Like, you can give me woman, but I want you to give me right now, or like at least once, I want you to give me woman drag or like bio drag.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, give me a woman who's doing drag on purpose and still looks beautifully like woman and fishy, right. But it's just like she's got like, I don't know, maybe like harsher contour or like, I don't know, something.
I feel like
I'm missing something in the makeup.
Yes.
I feel like I lose the face in the outfit sometimes.
Whenever I see Elliot in the makeup, I'm like, Elliot's gonna say to the group, hey y'all, I got my bag. I'm ready to go to the mall. Let's get out of here and go shopping for some Cinnabon. Mm-hmm. And it's not a bad thing. You could go to Cinnabon and look real cute. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see it on the stage and the runway compared to the other contestants. Mm-hmm. The other thing about Elliot that I love is that Elliot is giving us a, like, hey, I'm gonna open up to you slowly, as opposed to like, damn, here's all of my hard parts of my life.
Yep, here I am, bitch. Right. It's kind of like I'm a delicate flower and I'm opening up to you.
Yes.
Let me blossom. Also, I kind of, before we really kind of get into like the rest of the queens and like people's thoughts on everybody, I want to remind people, like, stop being fucking dicks.
Yes.
Because, like, I don't care if you dislike someone's drag. I don't care if you dislike someone's personality. You don't have a right to send them death threats. You don't have a right to fucking verbally abuse them. Like, unless they're directly coming for you, why would you come for them? Right? You don't know how that relationship may have evolved or how that person may have changed since this TV show that was filmed almost a year ago now.
And you don't know shit about that person.
Right.
You really don't know shit
about them. Just because you see them on TV, it's like you don't know them.
Right. Like, you don't know shit about them. And what I hate, because I've seen it from the Drag Race fandom, and I've seen it through multiple other fandom groups. If somebody on a show does something that you do not like, one thing to remember, this is entertainment television. This is not who they are. This is not their life. This is not who they're going to be for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. You have no reason to hate that person. You have no reason to threaten their lives. And when you start sending death threats to somebody, that makes you the bad person.
Yeah, like, you're literally exactly what you're accusing them of. And that makes you a hypocrite. And hypocrites aren't cute, bitch.
Right. Hypocrites aren't cute. And quite frankly, all hypocrites get fleas at some point. So, yep. Bitch.
Absolutely.
Think about it.
Get fleas. Check your crotch. So, yeah, absolutely. Because, like, okay, so, like, Candy Muse's mom was getting death threats.
Are you serious?
From fans.
I didn't know that.
Like, fucking, that's, like, crazy. That's, like, are you guys, like, first of all, if I don't care who fucking I have problem with, I'm not coming for their fucking mom.
Right. If I come
like, I'm not going to fight your mother.
Right.
Like, it's not her fault you came out of her vagina. you can you turned out this way because of you.
Right. If I partially got a problem with somebody,
mostly probably. You got to be accountable for your actions. Let's just leave it at that.
Exactly. If I do something wrong, come for me. Don't come for my mom.
Literally.
If you come for my mom, now you have said, "Hey, Andrew, everything that you did was okay, and I want my ass whooped."
Yeah.
That's what you're asking for.
Oh, absolutely. You fucking come for my mother, you will die. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's not a death threat, but that may be a hyperbole, but, like, you may end up in the hospital.
Right. I'm just going to tell you honestly, I'm just going to do every horrible thing to you in your life, so don't do it.
Yeah. So. Like, I feel like if there was ever a reason for someone to go to jail, it'd be for my mother. Mm-hmm. So don't fucking come for my mom. Don't fucking come for anyone's mom.
Right.
Stop sending death threats. Fucking, you're a pussy-ass bitch. We know you're not going to do it. And if you are going to do it, go look in the fucking dictionary. Or no, not the dictionary, the phone book. And look up a therapist, please, because that's a serious issue. And you shouldn't be wanting to kill people.
Right. And I'm not even saying this to be joking.
Absolutely not.
You need to go talk to somebody.
Literally.
That is what you want to go do from a TV. If you want to go kill somebody, you need to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there who will seriously help you. And I don't mean it jokingly.
Absolutely.
Go talk
not.
To somebody. That is a serious situation.
Mm-hmm. And Ahura was getting fucking death threats. And then apologies from people that she got death threats from being like, "Oh, I realized, you changed as a person." It's like, she changed months ago. Right. And you've been sending death threats since. So maybe because you just realized that the TV show was filmed forever ago and she showed on the TV show that she changed. Like, that doesn't mean that, like, you're not a fucking complete piece of shit now because you've been sending them death threats
mm-hmm.
over something that they have learned from and grown from.
It even still, of all things, in Drag Race, now there are clear problems in Drag Race. I will not discount those. But to send somebody a death threat because they possibly called somebody else a bitch in their confessional or they outshine somebody in a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's what you're willing to kill somebody for. RuPaul's
yeah.
motherfucking Drag Race.
Yeah.
Like, bitch, you ain't got no life. Figure the fuck out. If that's all you're worried about is RuPaul's Drag Race, good luck to you because there's a whole panorama outside.
Mm-hmm. A whole panini.
Yes!
All right. Next screen. We're gonna look at Gottmik. Gottmik. She is like awesome.
So
I love how Gottmik talks.
Gottmik is the embodiment of every person that I would want to meet who loves Drag Race at DragCon.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel like Gottmik has the whole package of being somebody who is not only a lover of Drag Race, but wants to elevate it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love Gottmik.
Yep, Gottmik is bringing it to the table. And in addition to that, I'm not going to... Because, okay, what I want people to get out of their heads is that Gottmik is doing well because she is trans. Mm-hmm. And people need to accept that Gottmik is doing well and is trans. You know, like, those things are happening simultaneously, and, like, I feel like people think that, like, she's getting, like, slipping by, or, like, he's like, and it's like, no, like, she's bringing it to the table. And yes, like, Gottmik will be referred to as she, because she doesn't want to be treated any differently than any other drag queen, which is, like, why would you?
Everybody else she?
Yeah, we're calling all the other queens she.
Yeah.
Gottmik is a she, and she's cool with that. She said it on Drag Race.
Now, the only thing I have for your Gottmik is...
Gottmik.
Gottmik. What is it? The only read I have for her is the little black dress challenge. I loved her concept, but I do not like the fact that I know that outfit is not technically a full outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially in drag, no matter who you are, to come out with just that and that's it, it's a beautifully made little piece to cover your bits.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like that should have made her safe. I feel like she definitely should have been in the bottom for that runway look.
I was 50-50 on it. I loved the concept. I thought it was so unique.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it came out as like an amazing as some of the other looks.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and honestly, to me, what I would have fucking done is done like this like huge exaggerated boot and this like huge exaggerated like necklace and like fucking this huge exaggerated gloves to be like all these huge things in this teeny little black dress.
Yes.
That's kind of how I would have approached it. I mean, mind you, I would first have to come up with the idea of the teeny weeny black dress, which I probably wouldn't have, let's be honest.
Like, I feel the idea was
really like, if you're gonna take it, take it.
Yes. That's what I wanted. I felt it wasn't elevated. I'm like, I love that she made this little dress, but accessories. Give us something.
Yeah. Like, it just, I got bored.
Yeah.
I'm like, I saw it all in a quick flash. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm like, I want, or like, at least, like, it would have been beautiful if it was, like, rhinestoned and, like, hand sequined, or, I don't know, just, like,
something to just give it a pop.
A pop, like, yeah.
For me, it was just the tiny little dress, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
Yep.
Okay,
what is your take on Joey J?
Joey J. My take on Joey is going to be, who? I don't mean that in a shady way. No tea, no shade. But I don't remember Joey.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember Joey for one main reason. I don't remember any of Joey's personality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. I just don't remember. I remember Joey had short hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was one outfit where Joey did long hair. And I loved the long hair look.
Yeah, I think there were two. Or maybe three altogether. Because Joey got to turn out a few looks before he left. She left. Same thing as like Ross said. Like, I love the short hair concept, but at some point you have to make it different somehow. Somehow. I don't know how, but that's not my job.
Right.
If you're gonna if you want to rock the short hair, you need to figure out how to make the short hair rock. Mm-hmm. Unique every time.
I feel like whenever a queen sticks with a specific thing, like a specific makeup, a specific hairstyle, I always think of Caesar from The Hunger Games. How every Hunger Game, his hair would be a different color, but it'd be the exact same style, or different accessories with the exact same style. It switched it up. So every time we saw him on screen, it's like, oh shit, okay, he's still the same person, but it looks different.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey didn't give us that.
Yeah. That being said, I loved like the runway, or the hair that Joey got eliminated in.
Mm-hmm.
I like that big, like kind of like Madonna-ish look I got from that. Maybe that's just me, I don't know. But also, we've been hearing that like Joey is the trade of the season. And I'm not gonna lie, okay, Joey is the most attractive of the season. I don't know if he is the trade of the season, and I don't think there is any trade this season. They're cute, they're attractive, some of them are sexy, but at the end of the day, there's no trade.
I got no trade in the season.
So for people to be calling Joey the trade of the season, sorry, bro, but I'm going to have to revoke that from you and say you're the most handsome of the season.
I cannot co-sign that one.
Who is the most handsome of the season for you?
To me, the most handsome of the season was actually Tamisha. Tamisha's bone structure, I was like, oh, yeah. He's fucking hot. Aside from Tamisha, I didn't have anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Joey would be like my close second.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
that.
But I just don't get trade vibes from anyone this season.
Yes. Now, you know what, we'll talk about that later. Okay.
So let's take a quick break here before we get too ahead of ourselves. We still got a bunch of queens to go, and we got UK to go. We'll see how long this takes us.
This might be a two-part.
Yes. Hey everybody, just taking a quick little break to plug ourselves, because we're pretty fucking awesome.
And I love plugging things.
Yes, plug it in, plug it in. You remember that commercial from like 1982?
Yes, it was so good. And it's not that old.
Okay, we're sidetracking. So, we just wanted to shout ourselves out and say follow us on Twitter. Yo, That's Gay Pod. You can also follow us on Instagram at yothatsgay.pod. You can contact us any of those ways if you have questions, suggestions, comments, concerns, or compliments.
I love compliments. Shower us in them. But also, curse us the fuck out. give us some things that you want us to talk about. If you have a question.
Yeah, if we said something fucked up that you don't like, let us know.
Right. Let us know. I mean, I'm not going to change my opinion in some situations, but...
We'll see how convincing your argument is.
Yes. If you can educate me, educate the fuck out of me.
Hell yeah. Getting educated is my kink.
Yes, educate me hard, Daddy.
Yes, Daddy. Okay, we are done here. Bye.
Bye. So we are back again. I don't know why I said it that way, but I liked it.
Because that's how they do it in that RuPaul song.
Oh.
Back again. Something like that.
You know what? I'm here for it. Bring Back My Girls is a great song.
I think that's my favorite RuPaul song of all time.
I love it. I don't want to hear it anymore because of the season, but I still want to hear it because of the season.
I want to. I realized I liked it the most when they did that season 12 close up lip sync.
Yeah,
because they lip sync to that song, and honestly, I think Gigi Good killed it.
Gigi Good killed it.
Jada.
Why am I blanking on names? Jada, I thought was super freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Crystal Method, it was a great lip sync. I had to go back and watch it, though, because I never focused on her.
Me either. Like, Gigi and Jada kept most of my attention during that lip sync. I will say that.
It was their damn makeup, the way they had their hair. It was perfect for the frame.
They were telling more of a story with their, with their, like, lip sync than with Crystal was just kind of, like, doing the lip sync.
Yes. Crystal was like a Zoom call these days. Mm-hmm. It was like, we know Crystal's there. Mm-hmm. We know she's amazing, but today she just chose to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a lip sync.
All right, let's get back into our season 13. Okay. Fucking key. And let's talk about Kamora Hall. What are your thoughts on Kamora Hall?
Kamora Hall, beautiful, beautiful queen. Beautiful. To get on the show and your first outfit that you're going to show is a Bob Mackie dress. I was already sold right there.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I have to say about Kamora for myself is we could have just watched the promos. Like, y'all could have literally just eliminated her as soon as the show started.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say that in, like, a salty way, but all we got was the promo. That was all of her funny moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't get any personality. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where Kamora really struggled. On stage and even like in the workroom, I feel like, and all I think is like, okay, so when I think of Kamora Hall on Drag Race, because I don't want to say when I think of Kamora Hall as a person, because obviously she's built herself up to this point and she's going to keep going places. But I think when I think of her experience on season 13 Drag Race, I just think of that Tyra Banks moment of like, I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. Like, that's all I think about, where I'm like, girl, like, you're a Hall. Like, your family holds the crown. Like, when are you going to bring it? I expected you to make it at least halfway.
Yes.
So, I was kind of left disappointed.
There were a lot of missed opportunities for Kamora. On the show, that's the spectrum I really know her from. I love every look she gave. She turns a look easily.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that I have is that Kamora never brought forth her on stage. But her fucking confessionals were hilarious. I was dying laughing during almost all of her
confessionals. Yeah, like, I mean, like, I feel like it's crazy. It's fucking ironic how, like, I think of that, like, Tyra Banks moment, and I feel like a lot of people do, because she got eliminated trying to replicate that Tyra Banks moment, and it's like, you should be yelling at yourself. Like, you
know, We were rooting for you.
For you. For the fucking tree. The fucking roots.
Yeah.
Rooting for the fucking roots. Okay, that's all I'm going to say on Kamora Hall, because I honestly haven't seen a whole bunch of her on social media. I haven't. I think we need a break.
Yeah, I think we need a little bit of break. But I will say, though, Kamora, if you ever have a chance to hear this, your wigs were always on
point.
Your hair,
always.
Oh my God, her hair, her makeup and hair just sent me every time I saw her. I was like, this is what I want to look like in drag.
Yep, tea. Mm. All right, let's get into Candy fucking Muse.
The icon.
The Dominican doll from New York City.
I like her. Everything about Candy reminds me about my first time to New York. That I was uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go to. But I had a bomb-ass time, and I'm
going to get it. Yeah, I mean, I think Candy, I'm from New York City. I was raised in New York City, so I feel very comfortable with Candy's personality. Mm-hmm. Very safe. And honestly, I think she's super fucking nice and she's super fucking dope, and I love her drag. In addition to, like, just loving her as a person.
Yes.
And I think Candy's brought us a lot of funny moments. I think Candy was well established, even outside of the House of Aja. She was well established as a force to be reckoned with, even before Drag Race.
What I love about Candy...
And when we fucking saw her, it was amazing.
Yes.
Sorry, I had to cut you off there.
She is just electric. There's something about Candy. As soon as she gets into whatever it is, she puts her best foot forward. Even on the night where she stumbled and had a hard time in the challenge, if it wasn't for that fucking wig, I don't think she would have been. But just everything about her, I want to be Candy.
Yeah.
Like, she makes me want to be her.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Like, I want a little Candy inside me. But I think we covered Candy in the intro.
Yeah.
I think we stan Candy. We can't wait to see what you bring out and all the work that you put in. And maybe you'll see that crown.
The thing hopefully that's going to make it for me for Candy, Snatch Game.
Snatch game
is going to be the thing.
I think Snatch Game is going to be crucial this season, and that's tomorrow.
It is. You will hold up on it. I was going to ask you predictions for Snatch Game.
Well, we'll do another episode where we talk about Snatch.
Okay.
Okay, what about Lala Ree?
Lala Ree. I love Lala Ree. One of the best things that I loved about Lala Ree, at least to me, was her performance skills.
Yes.
The girl
performance. Her performance skills were top tier.
Mm-hmm.
I think her looks were bottom tier. And I'm not just talking about that riggedy-diggedy bag dress. But I think it was all, like RuPaul's whole tea or coffee, very regional.
Mm-hmm.
Very much like local bar that nobody goes to anymore.
Yes.
We're not talking about any particular bar at Rochester.
I am in
Rochester, New York.
I will clearly talk about it.
On the corner.
You only have digits in your name. But whenever I see a queen in just a bodysuit or just like a onesie that has application to it, I'm excited about what they created, but I'm also let down that this is what you only presented when everybody else had hours to do the exact same thing that you just put together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's disrespectful to the spirit of competition.
Yeah, it's literally like fucking Joe Black walking the stage with fucking H&M. It's the same fucking thing. It's like, are you literally just bringing a bodysuit? Are you literally just bringing another just like short dress? And it's like you almost feel like cheated. You know what I mean? It's like, I did not fucking pay for Philo television service, or you didn't pay for television service that I steal and borrow. So I can get this little ass dress over and over and over again.
Right. What killed it for me was the bag challenge. Like, girl.
Something.
Right.
Something.
Right.
No, like, that was embarrassing.
There is nothing.
Like, I have never made clothes in my life,
right,
but I know I could have made something better than that.
Right.
I know for a fucking fact. Oh, my goodness.
Like, even if she had given us, and this is just me talking out my ass, but I know it's something you can create. If you even gave us just a pencil skirt to go with those bags, you could have just cut them down the middle and literally glue them into a cylinder and just put it on your body.
Mm-hmm.
You would have had something. That outfit, I have never been so mad watching Drag Race, and I was literally mad. Mm-hmm. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? This is what you came out here in? And you can't say I ran out of time, because you already had the bags on that corset a long time before they called last call to get your look together.
Mm-hmm.
Even with editing, you can't change that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm just like, no, I don't agree with that.
Yep. So, girl, I think if you ever want to see yourself on Drag Race again, it's going to have to be in another season. Yeah. It's not going to be on All Stars. Not yet. Not until you've proven yourself and reversed that damage.
I feel like if you elevate your socials, do some great things in there, then you'll be back on All Stars. Right now, I don't see an All Stars offer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But we'll see. We'll see where things take us. What about Olivia Lux? I love Olivia Lux.
I love her. I do. I love her. It's every look, every situation, she has not let me down.
Yeah, I think she came in and worked it. I think she beat Rosé in that first lip sync. Mm-hmm. And since then, she's been bringing it. She has not been in the bottom yet. And I don't see her landing in the bottom with what she's bringing. And it's unique. It's polished, especially for being such a new queen, as they made such a big fuss in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It is polished, girl.
I feel like she is giving us what I have always wanted from Shangela in the first season.
Yes.
I feel like she is giving me that. And Shangela is an amazing queen. Please don't take that as shade or anything. But I am just so happy to see her on this too.
Yeah, I think Olivia is doing amazing. And we'll get into our top threes. But I think Olivia's my top three easily. Mm-hmm. And I would not be at all surprised if she took this crown.
Oh, neither would I.
Yep. But yeah, we'll get into top threes in just a second. But let's get into Rosé.
Yes, Rosé. How do you feel about Rosé?
I think Rosé is doing well. I think Rosé is killing it. I think Rosé is a little arrogant sometimes. And I say sometimes because Rosé is confident. And there's a difference between confidence and arrogant. And I think Rosé sometimes travels between both.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I'm not saying she shouldn't be confident. Absolutely. But sometimes it crosses over into arrogance. I think I'm excited to see where the rest of the season goes. I think the work is just phenomenal. I've met Rosé, and Rosé was super nice when I met her. Super, 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 like, personable, too. I'm looking forward to what else Rosé is going to bring. And I feel like the difficulty with Rosé is that she's almost set the bar so high for herself that, like, now I'm like, if you're setting the bar that high for yourself, I want to see even more. And it's like, and if she hadn't set that expectation for me, I think I'd be, like, currently, like, wowed and amazed. But I'm like, the fact that you're, like, you came in here, like, I don't even deserve to, like, lose this initial lip sync, like, type of, like, cockiness. I just feel like, for the arrogance, I just want something, and I'm not sure what that something is, but it's just kind of like in the personality that I want to see it come out. But like, there's something that's missing in Rosé right now, and I want to see that come out, and I think it's coming soon.
We're in the same boat. Rosé is an amazing queen, established, has a record, but I feel like Rosé is too polished. Like, I feel like we're getting a veneer and we're not getting Rosé. Like, I love everything she's presenting, everything she does. You can see her energy, especially in the last challenge. You could see that energy and fire. And then once she performed, it was like, okay, I don't feel like you're putting on a persona. Mm-hmm. You're just out here having fun.
Yeah.
The other episodes before that, I was like, I feel like she was in her head from that very first episode where she was, like, face cracked about getting eliminated.
Yeah.
Lip sync. And she was trying to figure out, how do I adapt? How do I get here? And this episode, she was just like, this is mine. I am here for it. I know this realm. This is what I do. And when she came out and she did her thing, I was like, oh, I love her.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think Rosé is going to go very far in this competition. I would not be surprised to see Rosé in the top three, but we'll see.
What I can say for Rosé, Rosé reminds me of Trinity the Tuck in her first season.
Mm-hmm.
How Trinity was super polished, had all these great things, great tricks, looks, acting, doing everything. But we didn't get to know Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's Rosé. I want to get to know you as opposed to just seeing you.
Yeah. Yeah, I want more personality from Rosé. And I feel like Rosé's energetic and all that. Like, you give me personality, but I feel like you're giving me the personality like that you want me to see. And I want kind of to see a little bit, maybe more vulnerability is what I want. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, that's my thoughts on Rosé.
Okay. We'll see her. I know she's going to be around this season for a while. So
yep, definitely.
This is the longest damn season ever.
Literally.
So long.
Literally. It's going to be fucking Christmas and like, there's going to be three girls left.
Yes. And I did not like last week's episode. I'm just going to be honest. I don't like these COVID special things that they're doing for these shows.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do a COVID special, please don't interrupt the main canon of the show. Just add it as an addition.
Well, so I think they only did that for the first episode to lure people in, because now that's on Sundays.
Okay.
And now they're going back to regular scheduled, I think.
Okay, good. Because I know I'm not going to watch it, at least not now. Every show I watch has a COVID, episode,
uh-huh.
And I've just been avoiding them at this point because we're living it, and I just don't want to hear it again.
Yeah, yeah, no, like, I'm interested in it, but I also, I missed Drag Race last week.
Yeah.
Like, girl, get your priorities straight.
Exactly. You gotta throw on a mask. Come on.
All right, what about Tamisha Iman?
Tamisha Iman
is coming for you to show the girls what I can do. Oh my goodness, that was stuck in my head for, 8 days.
It's so good. It just rolls off the tongue. Tamisha, I love. Tamisha, I have seen perform live, and I've also seen some of her children perform live at a few different balls that I've been at, and I love Tamisha Iman.
Fierce.
There's just something about her energy she gives on stage, and the thing that left me, gag, every single outfit she made by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I just love that damn golden dress shit she had on.
Yeah, she's a seamstress, right?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, I think I wish I would have loved to see Tamisha Iman competing at her peak.
Yes.
And I think it's just an unfortunate situation for her. But I think regardless of her performance on the show, I think she's earned her spot on the show. And I think we're just going to keep seeing more from Tamisha. Absolutely. I don't see Tamisha going anywhere anytime soon. This is her profession.
Oh, yeah. This is her full-time
She is profession. A fucking professor of drag.
Mm-hmm. I feel like till the day that she is no longer going to be with us, she's going to be perfecting drag for more and more people.
Mm-hmm.
I can see her, she already has blown up on social media just for her period on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. Fucking fierce fighter. Especially I think, and I feel a special connection to Tamisha because, of her struggle with colon cancer. And that was my mom's struggle.
Mm-hmm.
My mom recovered from colon cancer twice. And I think it's just kind of just seeing someone kind of come on TV and just openly talking about it is very pure.
Oh yeah. My mom is going through it now. So for me, it's one of those things, just like you said, to hear another person outside of my family,
mm-hmm.
outside of me thinking about it, talking about it, it's like, thank goodness.
Yeah.
It's like that representation you need to see sometimes.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like I'm not the only person that has had to live with this impacting my life somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think her story is one to be told, and I think it's going to be one that's going to be told for many years to come.
Oh yeah. I would love to see her in All-Stars, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. She would fucking kill in All-Stars.
I feel like she would destroy
mm-hmm.
All-Stars. Oh, bring Tamisha back, yes. Please.
What about Tina Burner?
Tina Burner. I don't know how I feel about Tina Burner. I love Tina's performances.
Mm-hmm.
I love everything that she's showed on the show. I don't like her looks.
Really?
I am not a fan of her looks. And it's, for me, I personally don't like the colors yellow or red.
Okay, so and it's some of the branding.
It's kind of some of her branding. I've just never been a fan of the colors, together or separate.
I'm actually not a fan of the color concept either.
Yeah.
I 1,000,000% respect Tina Burner. Tina Burner, okay, so Tina Burner is not someone whose drag I followed prior to her being on Drag Race. So I will admit, I started following Tina Burner after she was announced on Drag Race. However, everyone in the fucking world knows Tina fucking Burner. Like, you know, Tina Burner is a fucking, like, civil rights, human rights, LGBT rights fucking advocate. She has fucking done so much for our community in New York City. She's played such a huge role and she's been such an influence in the scene where Tina Burner has earned her right to wear that hideous yellow and red.
Oh, I agree.
You know what I mean? She's allowed to look fucked up.
She could come out in toilet paper, and I'm still gonna stand for her.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, she is a literal social justice warrior. She's out there fighting for causes.
Yeah, and I wish, honestly, like, some of the looks, same with you, like, I feel like what lost it for me was the color scheme, where I look at some of her outfits, I'm like, this would fucking slap in a different color.
Yes.
And so I feel you. I understand you with that, because I'm like, at the same time, I'm like,
yeah.
I want more. I'm a hungry bottom. I always want more.
You are a Drag Race bottom, and you better get it. Like, I love her looks. Now, my favorite look from her was her taxi cab look.
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite
look. Yep, that was a good look.
And Tina's aesthetic would go great with that older style New York. And I hope that as she does more, we see some of the more muted yellows and reds, mm-hmm. and also the very loud yellows and reds. Because if you give me that, I'm sold.
Yeah.
Like, that yellow in this fucking taxi cab, that shit was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think... My favorite, though, taxi cab look, because there were four,
mm-hmm.
was Got Mick.
Yes.
With the fucking, like, hair and the yellow outfit. Like, I think Got Mick took the crown from that little mini challenge of the four taxi cabs. Or slash crash dummies.
That crash dummy she did was amazing.
Yeah, she did a crash dummy, and then so did Denali.
Denali's
two cabs dummy. And two crash dummies.
Denali's crash dummy just wasn't it for me. It was a great look, but after seeing Got Mick come out, I was like, bitch.
Yeah, honestly, if Got Mick hadn't come out, I would have given it to Denali.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just kind of, like, it diluted it.
It did. I was like,
It's like with the whole, like, fucking Ahura sister-sister thing. It's like, one of you's gotta give.
So I have a lot of feelings about Ahura and sister-sister. I have tons of feelings about them. None of them are negative, but both of them, it's like watching two people you don't like argue. You are happy that the digs come because you're like, yes, fuck her.
It's
fuck
like her. You're watching Mean Girls and it's like, are we still in high school?
Yes!
No, heard.
It's what I'm like, you know, y'all can just shut up and just sit here and be perfectly fine.
Yeah, literally. Okay, well, let's get into our final queen, Utica Queen.
I am a Utica stan.
Literally. That fucking sleeping bag look, I dream about it. I want one.
I
need one.
That look.
I'm going to fucking make one.
Make one.
No, I can't make one.
If you do.
I'm not talented.
That sleeping bag look. Now, the other look of hers that I like, she did the black dress, and it had that checkered patterning, and it looked like handkerchiefs hanging off of her.
Mm-hmm.
That is, like, my favorite.
Yeah, it was that, like, like Stevie Nicks type of look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very that.
Like, when I saw her in that, I was like, oh my gosh. And now, I just love Utica. Everything about Utica, I love. I hope as she goes further, we see even more variety of looks. But I just fucking love her.
Yep, love it. I want to see So the last, not the last, was it the last look? The look where she did, where they did the improv on the Bossy Rossi? Was that the last show?
That was the second to last.
Okay, on that one, where Utica came out and looking all sexy, I really, really wanted to see Utica deliver a sexy character.
Yes.
And we didn't really get that, other than her, like, looking sexy. But I want her to, like, sell me sex. I have dollars to give her in exchange for sex.
If she were to take that look from Bossy Rossi, which she looked amazing, and take her personality without the huge grinning and smiling.
Yeah, because I love the grinning and smiling. However, you need to know when to do it. It reminds me of Abby OMG. Oh, my God.
Yes.
You know, where it's like Abby, I love, like, your smile and, like, your energy. However, there are times when it takes away from the outfit and the look.
Right.
It depends on the look you're going for, and you need to know when to whip it out and when to not. Mm-hmm. So the smiling with Utica, like, completely reminds you of Abby, oh, my God, on Drag Race Holland.
Utica gave me Paris Hilton and the Hardee's Burger commercial. And if you, I'm old, but if you remember the commercial, she was modeling for Hardee's Burgers, and she was all sexy on this car in a very short booty cut jean shorts and tank top. Looked just like Utica. If she would have given me that personality without the smile, I would have been like, she should have won.
Mm-hmm.
But, Utica, 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 I love you. I want to see you in the top three. Not gonna lie.
Yep, absolutely. So who are your top three?
My top three. Simone, Candy Muse, and Utica.
Mm-hmm.
That is who I want to see in the top three of the show.
I think who I expect to be in the top three are Utica, Candy Muse, and Olivia Lux.
Mm.
Yep, I think. And honestly, I think Olivia's going to take it.
I feel like Olivia's going
to take it. Whether, like, I'm not saying, I'm not sure if she's the one, I'm not, okay, first of all, okay, let's admit, I would love to see Candy take this crown. I would love to see any of the top three, I just should take this crown. But who I think so far their trajectory is going to take it is Olivia.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I feel like if Olivia's in the top three, she's going to win no matter what.
Yeah.
Not even like a predetermined, it's just like she is competing against all these girls and it's completely decimated all of them each time. So I just feel like she would be the one to win.
Yep. Killer, killer, killer. Mm-hmm. All right. So, we didn't get into Drag Race UK, and we don't want to hold you guys up for too long. So next week, tune in for Drag Race UK, season two. We're going to talk about that, Kiki, a little bit. And then we'll also get into our further expansions of Drag Race that are coming out. So we'll talk a little bit about what else is coming up. Drag Race Down Under. Mm-hmm. We've got Drag Race Brazil apparently in the works.
In the works, it has been confirmed.
What else is coming out? Drag Race
Thailand season 3.
Oh, Thailand season 3 is coming out?
Yep, Thailand season 3 has been confirmed, but there is not a release date yet.
Okay.
It is being worked on.
All Star 6.
All Star 6. Drag Race UK season 3 is set to start filming, I think, next month.
Yeah, they already cast it, I'm pretty sure, because I remember them casting it when they announced season 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drag Race All-Stars International, apparently, is in the works, and it's going to come out on, like, Paramount Plus.
Yes.
So I'm super excited for that, because I need to see fucking Scarlett Bobo and fucking All-Stars.
Yeah.
And there's so many queens that need to bring it to All-Stars from the other iterations. Fucking Janie Jacquet. Mm-hmm. She needs to come in from Holland because she could win a crown.
She can. You know what? Let's give them one more segment. We're not going to hold you for too long, y'all. I do have a question for you, though. Drag Race International is rumored to only going to have 8 queens on it.
Mm-hmm.
I have one list that was very popular on socials. I want to see how you feel about this list, and then give me 8 queens you think should be on it.
Oh, easy. Easy. Okay. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with our little mini bonus segment.
Okay. All right, y'all. So we are back with a little bonus segment. We're talking about All Stars International for RuPaul's Drag Race. So, I have something for you. I was looking online, because there's been all the speculation for Drag Race International All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And The whole concept that has been online is that it's going to be two queens from each reiteration of Drag Race.
Yes.
Which could be amazing.
Yes. I really want them to bring back like 50.
Bring back everybody. Yes. Bring back them all.
Bring back my girls.
Bring back every single one of them. Now, one of the popular lists that I have seen online, and this doesn't follow the full canon of two queens from each season, but this one had about 100,000 votes on CNE.ig. And they do a lot of reviews for Drag Race. And they said they would like to see Heidi in Closet, mm-hmm. Widow Von Du, Bag of Chips, Cheryl Hull, Davina DeCampo, Lemon, Jimbo, and Jamie Jacque. That was what the most voted list was for them.
Okay, read it back one more time.
Mm-hmm. So Heidi in Closet, Widow Von Du, Bag of Chips, Cheryl Hull, Davina DeCampo, Lemon, Jimbo, and Jamie Jacque.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be their eight queens that they had the most voted for. Is there anybody on their list that you think would be the one that you would want in this season?
So definitely Jamie Jacque. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, that was a season worthy of a tie.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, Envy Peru fucking killed it. So, you know, I fucking love her. So out of those, okay, let's start in order. So Heidi in Closet. I would love to see Heidi in Closet on Drag Race. I know she's grown a lot already. I want to give her a little more time to ripen up. But I think she's easily, if not All-Stars, then All-Star. If not All-Stars International, then All-Stars.
Yeah.
Because she's a Miss Congeniality. She's going to come back at some point. I'm going to give Heidi a little bit longer before I want her back.
I agree with
you. I feel like Heidi pumps out enough content, too, where I'm, like, satiated for, like, what she does. She's very active on socials.
She's active on socials. She's got some very big national brand deals. So we're seeing on her commercials on all the time. So I agree with you. Love her. I don't want to see her back this soon.
Yeah.
Give her some more time.
Who's next?
Next on the list is Widow Von Du.
So I know Widow Von Du, along with Scarlett Bobo from Canada's Drag Race, both of them have been campaigning hard for All Star 7. So I've been very vocal and very active on Twitter. Like, Scarlett Bobo started a hashtag Bobo for All Star 7, and it's been pretty active.
Okay,
I would love to see Scarlett Bobo would be one of my choices to bring back because she was one of my favorites from Canada's Drag Race. However, I think Widow Von Du I would love to see more of. I think she did very well her season. Except for that, like, presidential debate. That was really bad.
Presidential debate was so bad. right now, both Heidi and Widow would not be on my list for an upcoming season of All-Stars or for International. But I would love to see them on a later season of All-Stars.
Yeah. Well, remember, we have All-Star 6 before All-Star 7. Right. And Widow's trying to get an All-Star 7.
Right.
Because All-Star 6 has already been being shot. Or being recorded if it's not done already. But I think that I wouldn't want Widow Von Du on U.S. International or representing the U.S. on International All-Stars because I would love to see a more seasoned queen from the U.S. version coming onto International.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to see, like, What's her name? Yara Sofia.
Yes. Oh my
Yara
God.
Yara Sofia
yes.
on International Drag Race. Can you believe?
I lose my mind.
Oh my God. Or, like, I mean, I'd even be happy with the season 12. I think just season 13 is too ripe for an international.
Yeah.
Season 9, you know, it's not even in production yet or it's not being cast yet, but I think I just need a little time.
in the first international, I wouldn't want to see somebody from such a recent season.
Right. I want, like, an original. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, give me a fucking...
Give me fucking Nina Flowers.
Nina Flowers.
I want Nina Flowers on a season. That's one of the people mm-hmm. I would want on International Drag Race. Mm-hmm. Is Nina Flowers on International All-Stars. I want
her. I heard a rumor for Lanesha Sparks. Oh. From season 6. Okay, I would love Lanesha. A good Lanesha Sparks.
Me too.
And I think it'll add some flavor to the International.
Oh, yes. My list... I will just tell you my list for this. If I had a chance to cast this, it's going to be Tatiana.
Agree.
I would have Tatiana there. Bag of Chips.
Agreed.
Something Wong. I disagree. Love her. Lemon would also be on my list. I fell in love with Lemon.
Agree, but I would... I have preferences over Lemon. Mm-hmm. But I love Lemon.
I love Lemon. Lemon grew on me.
Yeah, Lemon, I fucking love Lemon.
Jimbo, I want back. Mm-hmm. I love Jimbo.
Agree and disagree. Agree, but not immediately. Not right now.
Right now, it seems soon, but I would not be upset to have Jimbo on All-Stars as soon as they do an All-Stars for Jimbo was Canada.
Canada, yeah.
And then for Holland, the only queen that I want to come back, I mean, I love Jamie Jeke, so I would love to have her back. Setter Jean.
Setter
Jean is my favorite queen from Holland. Mm-hmm. I just love everything she presented.
So, for me, I do not agree with Setter Jean. Mm-hmm. It would not be my choice. So, wait, finish going with that list. I want to go finish that list first.
Okay, so the list that we have here, the next one is Cheryl Hole.
Yes.
Yes.
My two picks from UK. So, what's the first one we did? US?
US was Heidi and Widow.
Okay, I will give you for US, I will give you Tatiana. Absolutely. Okay. I would do Tatiana and Yara Sofia would be my two picks.
Okay.
And then UK, you did Something Wong.
UK, I did Something Wong and Bag of Chips.
Bag of Chips. Okay, I agree with Baga. I think she would definitely be an amazing fucking personality on the show. Okay. And then my other pick from UK would be Cheryl Hole. I love Cheryl Hole. I love how fucking... I've never been to fucking Essex, mm-hmm. but Essex is where I want to go if I ever go to the UK.
That was the best character ever.
Like, oh, if that's what Essex is, that's me. Hi, basic white girl here.
Okay, so you're going to start watching The Only Way is Essex. It is good. You would love it.
All right, what is it on?
You know, I'll find it for you. I think it might be on Philo.
Okay.
If it's not there, I have links to it.
Okay.
But imagine Jersey Shore with Real Housewives, but in England, and it's classy.
Yes.
The only way is that it's so damn good. So good.
But I love Cheryl Hole. I think that she made, what'd she make, top four?
She didn't make
top four.
Yeah, she was top four.
And... I would say she definitely lucked out on getting top four, but I'm so glad I got to see all the looks that she turned out. I'm so glad she made it through that girl group challenge because mm-hmm. she did the best. Honestly, I think that she would have won that song with her verse if it was individually judged.
Yes. Yes, I agree 100%.
But that's my Cheryl Hole Bag of Chips on board.
There you go. I like it. Our next queen that was on the list is Davina DeCampo.
Davina DeCampo. Well, I noticed on this list they picked 3 UK and 1 Holland, mm-hmm. which I think might happen, to be honest.
I feel like it might too.
Just based on popularity.
Yeah.
I would only go with the 2 UK girls. Okay. Because I want to save a spot for a Holland girl.
Okay. I can agree. Davina DeCampo was amazing on the season. I just don't want to see Davina back just yet.
Yeah.
I want to see Davina develop more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, I mean, I know Davina's said some things regarding, like, favoritism or, like, kind of, like, RuPaul looking for, like, more competitive drag queens and she just doesn't have the spirit. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if they don't bring her back just because she's been a little, I guess, mouth-offish to the brand.
Yeah, I can see it. Mm. The next queen on their list was Lemon, who we already talked about.
Yep.
Would you put Lemon in your All-Stars or replace Lemon?
I would do Scarlett Bobo, like I said, and Boa.
Okay.
I fucking love Boa. The bitch on fucking Arrival.
Yes, I forgot about Boa.
Girl, I cannot forget about Boa.
Ah, she turned looks and her personality was great.
Absolutely. I love Boa 100%. Fucking, and her verse on Sorry Not Sorry.
So good.
So fucking good.
And then the other two on the list we already talked about, Jimbo and Janie.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have anybody else in your season?
So my Holland girls would definitely be Janie JK. And then my other one would probably be Chelsea Boy.
Really?
Chelsea Boy. I think Chelsea Boy brings a very – okay, because, you know, I've had these conversations with myself. I'm like, when does drag become cosplay?
Uh-huh.
And I think they're two completely separate things, but they can very much overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that Chelsea Boy overlaps, like, cosplay with drag.
I agree.
And it's a very unique take on drag. It's almost kind of like an alternative drag, and I love that we're starting to see a little bit more alternative drag on mainstream Drag Race, mm-hmm. as opposed to just on Dragula.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, but I also, I want people to get out of these ideas that, like, any cosplay type of drag queens, like, oh, you're giving me Chelsea Boy, or any bearded queens, like, you're giving me Madame Madness, or any, like, big, like, anime eyes is, like, oh, you're giving me Kim Chi. It's like, no, like, girl, they're giving you their own look.
Right.
Like, just because they're similar or they're in the same genre does not mean they're the same thing.
I've always felt it's disrespectful. Me as an anime junkie and cosplay lover, for anybody to just write it off as, oh, you're just doing this. No, there's a specificity to what you put forth in whatever performance art you do. But specifically for myself, knowing cosplay, Chelsea Boy had an appreciation for it and integrated it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't just pretend to be a cosplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that I love, but I do not like when people have that assumption. Oh, you're going to do comedy or something. No, cosplay can be serious and sexy and classy too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I would love to see Chelsea Boy back. I think she brought a completely unique, I think it's the most far out aesthetic that anyone on any type of Drag Race has ever brought.
Oh yeah, I can agree.
Like, she's out weirded Sharon Needles.
Mm-hmm.
She's out weirded like Crystal Method. She's out weirded like all these like lovable fucking queens that we love.
Mm-hmm.
So Chelsea Boy, that's what I would go for.
I can see. You know what? My wild card from Holland would be Mama Queen.
Mama Queen.
I would actually love to see Mama Queen.
Yeah, so Mama Queen actually won Miss Congeniality for her season. I love Mama Queen. And so it took me a while. I had to re-watch Holland like 10 times to really understand Mama Queen's drag. And Mama Queen's non-binary. And their drag is non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not presenting female illusion. They're presenting non-binary illusion, which I think it just my eyes had to adjust. But like when I stopped and I looked at it, I'm like, girl, like this is some fucking drag.
Mm-hmm.
And just like maybe because I'm not getting woman out of it does not mean that this isn't fucking drag. Like, you're doing drag still. Like, all the big fucking excessive makeup and the big looks and the very, you know, all that stuff, but you're making it non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I loved about it.
What I loved about Mama Queen is that Mama Queen took Club Kid.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever seen Club Kid looks.
Yep.
But elevated them. And I love Club Kid culture. I wish we could still have Club Kid culture because I just think it's amazing. But Mama Queen took those looks and those ideologies of Club Kid, made it their own, and then made it drag.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I'm sold.
Yeah.
I am so sold.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think non-binary drag. And I mean, I've always loved different types of non-binary drag. I think just her take on non-binary drag was so different than what I'm used to,
mm-hmm.
because it's almost kind of like a genderless non-binary. It's almost kind of like an agender,
mm-hmm.
type of approach. Where I feel like for me, non-binary, it was so ingrained that it's like androgynous.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like it's nice to appreciate non-binary where it's going the other way from androgyny and it's going the other way from like male or female. It's going in a completely different direction.
It was like neutral, but not boring neutral.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I like these looks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Super excited. Like, I love this fucking like genderless. You're not giving me male. You're not giving me female. You're giving me just like straight up pure drag.
Mm-hmm. I'm here for it.
Yeah. So, Mama Queen, I love her. Them. Sorry. I will correct myself on pronouns always because I am what? Respectful.
Hey.
Now, yeah, those would be my tops. I think Jenny JK fucking killed it on her season. Mm-hmm. And I think out of that whole cast that I just picked for myself, I think Jenny JK would win.
Oh, you know,
also, another reason why I don't think Mama Queen would make it on international is she does not speak English.
No, she doesn't.
So the only queens that speak English are Envy Peru, Jenny JK, Miss Abby, oh my god. Chelsea Boy, I think a little bit. And I think that's it.
I hope they don't just limit it to the queens from Holland who can speak English because you're really shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
Like, it's 2021.
Y'all can hire interpreters.
Yes. It's not hard.
Who I would love to see from Drag Race Thailand if they decide to incorporate it is Bandit.
Ooh.
Bandit is I'm fucking obsessed with Bandit's looks. Who else from Thailand? I feel like at first I was really interested in Genie, but then some of those looks that were turned out during the season were kind of like, So I don't know. I don't know who my other Thailand pick would be. What about you?
For me, Taiwanese drag itself is an aesthetic that I've loved ever since I was a kid. I learned about drag queens from Thailand because all I could ever watch was TLC, National Geographic, and the Learning Channel. And that show on there called Taboo came on. And there was one episode of Taboo, and it was all about gender bending. And I'm going to say it in air quotes because that's the terminology they used. It was in 1999. I'm old. But on there, they had specific drag queens from Thailand. I honestly feel like this, and this isn't me trying not to choose somebody, I feel like you could put any queen from Drag Race Thailand on Drag Race with any of the other queens from any other reiteration, and
they'll turn it
on top.
They'll turn it.
Yeah, they will turn the shit out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Drag Race in Taiwanese culture, from what I know of, it's not entertainment. It is a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And every single queen on that show turned it out. Honestly, Bandit would be my number one pick because mm-hmm. I love Bandit.
Yeah, Bandit or Vandemis Joaquim.
Mm-hmm.
I really fell in love with them towards the end before she got eliminated. And crap, I literally just had this name and now I'm having a brain moment and I'm forgetting. I'm not a singer, clearly. fuck. Sri Mala.
Yes.
Sri Mala. Oh my god, I have not seen Drag Race Thailand season 1. It's not on WOW. So I know some of the contestants, but I don't know what the season turns out like.
I follow her on IG and I love all of the picks I've seen.
Yeah, love the looks. Love the looks.
Mm.
All right, anything else before we head out of here for the night?
Not yet. I'm gonna give y'all some treats for the next episode. We will talk about them. One thing that I want to say to everybody, if you get a chance to go on Netflix and check out A Queen Is Born, it is a drag competition, but it's completely different than Drag Race. So please do not go in there expecting to watch an episode of Drag Race. It is based in Brazil and it is amazing.
Interesting.
So I'll drop that tidbit and then next week we can talk about it.
And that's on Netflix, you said?
Yep.
I've not seen that. Okay.
It's very good. And yeah. If you have HBO Max, there's an episode, well, it's not an episode, it's an actual show. It's called Wig. And that's based on drag queens as well. It's not a competition, it's more documentary and it's really good.
Oh, work. And I would be fucking remiss if we didn't shout out Dragula. If you like alternative drag, like very like non-traditional, very off the mainstream, very punk, grungy, hardcore, scary, spooky, any of that, check out Dragula. Season 2 and 3 are on Netflix and season 1 is on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely check those out. And we'll do a whole episode on Dragula because I love Dragula. So, I recently watched season one finally, and I'm rewatching season two now.
Ooh, I'm gonna watch season one now.
All right. Bye.
Bye.